Well, dear saints, thank the Lord for the all-inclusive Christ revealed in the book of Matthew. Thank the Lord for his speaking thus far. In the first session, we saw Christ as the living star. Is he shining in your heart even now?
Amen.
Amen. What we need today is the up-to-date, instant and living vision of the heavenly Christ as the living star. Amen. We need this even tonight. We need the up-to-date, instant and living vision. And then, wasn't that so, I don't know what the word is, sweet, magnificent to see him as both the physician and the bridegroom. Praise the Lord. It's good to confess our lack, confess our need. We're not the strong. We're not the righteous. We need a physician. We need him. And he's here. He's here with us as the physician. But his goal is not only to heal us, but to come as the bridegroom, prepare us to be the bride. I just love the ending of the message, the prior message. Praise the Lord. He's coming. Amen. He's coming as the bridegroom. We are going as the bride. So we are here on earth being prepared to be the bride.
Amen.
But he's there in the third heaven, already prepared. Oh, we don't want to make him wait any longer. May we cooperate with him that we could be prepared to be the bride.
Amen.
And go out to meet him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. In this session, we come to two wonderful names. Two wonderful names. And saints, I just say, what a it was a privilege for me to be assigned this. To just enjoy Jesus in a way I just deeper than ever before. Emmanuel. I've known that he's my Emmanuel actually since I was about 8 years old. But through all the years, he has been my Emmanuel. But I tell you, in getting into this outline, this is deeper and richer than I've ever experienced, I have to admit. And I hope we all could touch the sweetness of these two names in a very, very fresh way. I think it would be good for us. Well, the title, Jesus, the King Savior's name given by God. And Emmanuel, the King Savior's name called by man. Called by man. It would be good for us to read the four verses that are in the scripture reading. I think actually maybe these verses are familiar to us, so we might be able even to recite them from our memory. If so, I hope we would exercise our spirit and with an exercise and release spirit to declare. If not, I hope that if you're not so familiar, you can read also with an exercise spirit. Matthew 1:21. Amen. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Amen. Matthew 1:23. Behold, Emmanuel, which is God with us. Amen. Then Matthew 18:20. For where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst. And finally, the last verse in Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the consummation of the age. Saints, we are here gathered together into his name. And even today, he is with us. Praise the Lord, he's with us all the days but never forget today. Sometimes we think he's with us all the days except today. No, today is the most important day.
Amen.
Has he been with us today?
Amen.
Yeah, he was with us right now.
Amen.
Roman 1, actually this message, only this outline only has two Roman numerals, which are the two verses from Matthew 1. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. A says, Jesus is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means Jehovah the Savior, or the salvation of Jehovah. Jesus is Jehovah, becoming our Savior and our salvation. This name, Jesus, has three elements. The first is Jehovah. Oh, that's a great thing. Jehovah is in Jesus. That's a great thing. We developed this in this outline. Second, it's Jehovah saves, or Jehovah Savior. Jehovah, the one who is our Savior. Not just Jehovah, the one who is our Savior. Not only so, it implies this Savior becomes our very salvation. Three elements. Oh, I hope we don't take this for granted. Jehovah, Savior, salvation. Okay, B says, the name Jesus includes the name Jehovah, which means I am who I am, indicating that Jehovah is the self-existing and ever-existing eternal one, the one who was in the past, who is in the present, and who will be in the future forever.
Amen.
And these two verses are very important. Exodus 3:14, Revelation 1:4. You know, when God came to Moses, that's in Exodus, he introduced himself. He introduced himself this way. God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. I am, has sent me to you. This one is I am. Oh, saints, what an implication. He is the eternal one. He always is. In the past, he was the is. He was the present one. He was the I am. In the present, he is.
Amen.
He's the I am. In the future forever, he will be the I am.
Amen.
So he will always be in the present tense.
Amen.
That's not a small thing, saints. Because we are always... our life is measured by time. We're created beings. He's not. He's not dependent on anything and anyone. We're created beings. We're limited by time and space. So we are always now. But thank the Lord, so is he.
Amen.
He is always now.
Amen.
He is the I am.
Amen.
You may say, but Lord, you are what? Oh, let's read. He's everything. He's whatever. Just fill it in. That's what he is. Amen. One, Jehovah is the only one who is and who depends on nothing apart from himself. We must exercise our spirit of faith to believe that he is and we are not. He is the only one, the unique one in everything, and we are nothing. Saints, it's very important for us to recognize that he is the I am. Because in Hebrews, this verse, Hebrews 11:6 says, He who comes forward to God must believe that he is. Did you come forward to God today? Every time we come forward to God, we must believe, Lord, you are. Not, Lord, where are you? But, Lord, you are. We need to exercise our spirit of faith. Number two, as the I am, he is the all-inclusive one, the reality of every positive thing and of whatever his people need. And here, saints, we have these verses. Saints, in these outlines, please pay attention to the verses. Every verse is very meaningful. Here we have verses from the Gospel of John. And the Lord presents himself. He fills in the blank. I am. Okay, in these verses, John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Are you hungry? Remember last night our brother charged us. Oh, with this verse, Luke 1:53. The hungry he has filled with good things. The rich he has sent away empty. We may have received something in the first message, the second message. I hope we say, Lord, I'm still hungry.
Amen.
Are you hungry?
Yes.
He is the bread of life.
Amen.
Amen. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd. John 11:35. I am the resurrection and the life. Saints, are you ever in need of resurrection? Are you ever in a dead, murky situation where you just sense like the death is coming on you? At that moment, you can just say, Lord, you are. Lord, you are. I don't trust in what I see. I don't trust in even what I feel. I trust you are the resurrection. And you are the life. We take him. We apply him. Oh, how? Just call. Lord Jesus. By this name. By this name. We get Jehovah. We get Savior. We get salvation. Amen. Everything is in the name, saints. Oh, I hope this practice of calling on the name of the Lord would never be something for granted with us and would never be something stale. This is not just a practice, saints. This is a lifeline. This is a lifeline. Oh, Lord Jesus, bread of life. Oh, Lord Jesus, light. Oh, Lord Jesus, resurrection. Sometimes you don't even know what you need. So just say, oh, Lord Jesus, and you get the I am.
Yes.
Amen. 14, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the reality and the life. So often in our daily life, we just don't know what's the next step. We face complicated situations. Even the brothers, very often brothers, don't we face situations? It's impossible. Brothers, even we can just, Lord Jesus, you are the way. We touch him, somehow there's a way. Praise the Lord. We never outgrow the application of calling on this name. On experiencing him as I am, fill in the blank. Because we're very needy. That's the next point, develops that. We may say that we believers have a signed check with the space for the amount left blank. And we can fill in whatever we need. Whatever we need, Jesus is, such as light, life, power, wisdom, holiness, or righteousness. Everything we need is found in the name of Jesus. Saints, not only in Jesus, but in the name of Jesus. We'll see in a little bit in Psalm 116. I'll take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. He wants to be our salvation. He even wants us to drink of the springs of salvation. How? Call. Oh, Lord. Sometimes that's the only thing that can come out. We're in situations, all we can do is say, oh, Lord. And he comes. He comes to be whatever we need him to be. See, Jesus is our Joshua. You know, we mentioned earlier, Jesus is the Greek equivalent of Joshua in the Old Testament. The one who brings us into rest, which is himself as the good land to us. You know, in the Old Testament, Joshua brought them into the good land. Okay. Our Joshua, Jesus, our Joshua, actually, he brings us out of all the negative things. And he also brings us into what? The rest. So actually, our Joshua is the more complete Joshua. Our Joshua is the all-inclusive Joshua. He saves us from a host of things. That hymn, salvation from a host of things does his dear name afford. And then, not only so, he's not only saving us from something, he's bringing us into something. Into the rest. Into the rest. Actually, we have a whole message dedicated to this, so I won't develop this message. Come back tomorrow. Message 5. Amen. Point D. Now, saints, in point D, we touch a very important point that actually, you'll see, runs through the remainder of this outline. A very important point for our experience. Okay, D says, the Lord's name, his person, is the all-inclusive compound spirit.
Amen.
And we say this based on the verse, Song of Songs 1:3. What a precious verse. Your anointing oils have a pleasant fragrance. Your name is like ointment poured forth. Your name is like ointment poured forth. And we know in the Old Testament, the ointment, right? The ointment, the oil. The oil is always a symbol of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit. So this verse, listen, this verse links the name with the Spirit. This is very important. This verse links the name with the Spirit. Okay. We call the name Jesus. But actually, the Spirit, who is the reality of that name, who is the realization of that name, actually today, the person of that name. So we call the name, we get the Spirit. Okay. This linking runs throughout this outline. You'll see this. Saints, this is wonderful. Very often, when we call this name, Lord Jesus, don't you have the same experience? There is a something within. There's a like a balm, a soothing sweetness when we call this name. It really is the anointing. It is the moving of the Spirit. The moving of the Spirit. Encouraging us. Maybe just witnessing that we're children of God. Maybe just letting us know, I'm with you. I'm with you. But how? Call the name. Call the name. His name is an ointment poured forth. And we have these verses here from Exodus on the holy anointing oil. You know that type in the Old Testament. The oil that anointed the priests for service. And also all the furniture of the tabernacle. Saints, this shows whenever we serve, we should call. Whenever we serve, we must have the anointing. Well, his name is anointment poured forth. And that anointing oil, we know it had the base, the hin of olive oil. And then these four spices added to the oil, the myrrh, cinnamon, calamus, cassia, right? And so two of these, myrrh and cinnamon, they represent the sweetness of the Lord's death. And the effectiveness of the Lord's death. Then the calamus, right, like the reed shooting up in the murky place, the resurrection, and then the power of resurrection, right, to repel. That cassia had this quality to repel insects, especially snakes, right? So saints, if you find yourself in a murky situation. Oh, Lord Jesus. And he just anoints. Because at that moment, you need resurrection. So he'll come. But maybe you're facing the attack of the enemy. Oh, I know this. Even this week, a certain situation, I could just sense the enemy attacking. Saints, I fled into the name of Jesus. You know, it says in Proverbs, his name is like a high tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Oh, all I could do, because I couldn't figure out the situation. The more I thought about it, the more inwardly down. I said, oh Lord, how can I speak something to the saints if I stay in this situation? I can't stay here. Oh Lord Jesus. And high tower. I was safe. Oh saints, this is real. This is practical for our daily living. Okay, in point E, the name of Jesus is above every name. This is Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Saints, no name is as high or as exalted as the name of Jesus. You know, whether you love Jesus or hate Jesus, you're for him or not for him, against him. Everyone realizes that's a special name. This name is a special name. Praise the Lord. Actually, this exalted name is for us to do many things. We have this list here. All the things in the name of Jesus. Number one, the name of Jesus is for us to believe into. And saints, I don't want to take anything for granted. I believe we probably have some newer ones among us. I want us to pay attention to this verse, John 1:12. So many of us actually even got saved through this verse, right? We use this verse in our gospel preaching. But I like to read this verse. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God, to those who believe into his name. I'll read the first part and the last part. But as many as received him, those who believe into his name. Who are those who receive? One day I received. I was a little boy. Very simple. 7 years old. I called out to Jesus. I didn't realize what was happening. But when I received him, I called his name. Actually, I believed not only in Jesus, but into Jesus. And an organic union started with this person. Believing brings us into his name. This is different than just believing in a historical figure like George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. We believe these people existed. But you call this name, George Washington, it doesn't bring you into this person. That person is gone. Yeah. Abraham Lincoln. I don't join Abraham Lincoln. But when I say, Lord Jesus, amen. Oh, I get into this person. Amen. When we help people to be saved, it's good to encourage them to proclaim the name of Jesus. Even to say, I believe in the name of Jesus. And I believe into the name of Jesus. That will strengthen their salvation. Then combined with this next point, the name of Jesus is for us to be baptized into. We have these two verses here from the book of Acts. Acts 8 and Acts 19. Both say that we're baptized into the name of Jesus, or into the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay? Baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. But saints, there are two other verses. In Galatians 3:27, and Romans 6:3. These verses both say that when we're baptized, we're actually baptized into Christ, the person. So when we gather for a baptism, and sometimes, you know, when we're baptizing, even as we're baptizing, we say, so-and-so, we baptize you in the name of Jesus, we baptize. Or in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, baptize. Saints, we have to realize, what does that mean? It's not just into a name, because this name has a person behind the name. There's a reality behind the name. So everyone who's there present, witnessing the baptism, must exercise their spirit of faith that this would not be an empty religious practice, but actually the reality. As I baptize you into this water as a picture, we are baptizing you into the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, I admit, when I got baptized, I was 12. I didn't realize this, but I do now. Praise the Lord. As I get older, saints, I appreciate my baptism more and more. Praise the Lord. I believed into him and I was baptized into him, into his name, which means into his person. Number three, the name of Jesus is for us to be saved. Of course, we were saved. When we believed into this name, we were saved from God's condemnation. We were saved from judgment. We were saved from hell or the lake of fire, right? But saints, there's many other things we still need to be saved from. It says in Romans, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we called, we got saved from a host of things already. But in Romans 5, it talks about being saved in his life. Saints, there's many other things we still need to be saved from. Our mood. You know, sometimes we just need to be saved from our mood. Our temper. Do you never need to be saved from your temper? From disappointment. From doubt. Sometimes we need to be saved from fear. Sometimes we need to be saved from discouragement. Sometimes we need to be saved from unbelief. We think, and we come to a conference, we hear a word, we might get happy, excited. Eventually the enemy lies to us. Everyone can make it, except you. You never had this in your mind, the enemy attacking? Saints, at that moment, we can call, oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, not only come to save me, don't just give me salvation. Lord, come and be my salvation. He will be your Savior at that moment, just by calling. Just by calling. Number four, the name of Jesus is for us to be healed. Amen. We've touched this morning. Number five, the name of Jesus is for us to be washed, sanctified, and justified. Amen. And this verse, saints, is very important. 1 Corinthians 6:11. I'll read it to you. And these things were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified. And please listen to the ending of this verse. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God.
Amen.
You see, this verse links the name with the Spirit.
Amen.
The name with the Spirit. The Spirit is the reality of that name. We call that name. We believed into the Lord Jesus. Then we were baptized in his name. Actually, we were baptized into this person, and we received the Spirit. Then this Spirit does a work in us all day long, every day of our life. To what? To wash us. Not the washing of sin. That's by the blood. But the washing of everything, all the other elements This is the process that's happening in Ephesians 5:26. He sanctifies her by the cleansing of the water in the word. Actually, this is how he prepares his bride. We need this washing. But how do you appropriate this washing? In the name and in the spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, wash me even now. Wash me. Wash away those thoughts. Wash away those thoughts of unbelief. Wash away those thoughts that the enemy injected into me and I received them. Lord, I don't receive them anymore. Wash me, Lord. Wash me. Sanctify me. Justify me. Now, point six. Oh, this is a big point here. The name of Jesus is for us to call upon. To call upon. And again, we have this verse. This verse appears very often in this outline. Whoever called, Romans 13. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We also have 1 Corinthians 1:12, where Paul addresses the church in Corinth. It says, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, with all those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 9, this is when he was Saul of Tarsus. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call. This is Ananias trying to get out of needing to go to see Saul of Tarsus. He didn't. The Lord was sending him. He said, Lord, don't you know this is the one who? Of course, the Lord knew. Eventually, Ananias tells Saul, be baptized, calling on that very name.
Amen.
It's very significant. But you know, saints, probably with a number of us here, when I first heard, I came to the church life, Lord's Recovery, and I heard the saints, this practice, calling on the Lord, calling. Actually, I have to admit, bothered me a little bit. Just bothered me. And I even thought this. And sorry, saints. I thought, are they using the name of the Lord in vain? Yeah, sorry. I repented for that thought. But anyway, I did have that thought. Because it's so often. And anyway, oh Lord Jesus. And anyway, so then, and then I heard about calling, like a little sharing on calling. I thought calling and praying is about the same. Later I found out, actually, calling is included in praying. Like calling is a kind of prayer. But calling is particular. This word in Greek, call, when it call, means to call upon or call out to or even to invoke a name by calling out audibly. Like, for example, if I say, Bill Lawson.
Yes, here I am.
Oh, see. Yeah. There's a person that responds to this name. In the whole congregation, only one person. Bill Lawson.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah, still here. Thank you. There's a person behind the name. And the instruction and the word is call out. Call upon. I'm going to show you in a moment many verses in Psalms. You know, when I first got saved and my sister, she gave me a Bible. I just love that Bible. It's not this one. This was a newer Bible, but I still have that one in my study at home. I just love that Bible. And I was 12. I had just gotten baptized. I just loved to read the Bible and I read Psalms. I was drawn to Psalms. And so I would read. I told you, I had a little trouble with the calling and the Lord reminded me, come back, remember that verse in Psalms. So I went, call. Look at this verse, call. So I was reading so many times in Psalms. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. I said, I've been calling on the Lord for 2 years and I didn't even know it. I'd like to read to you two footnotes. This is the verse here, the in this section, the last verse is Genesis 4:26. Genesis 4:26. Yes, it says, "And to Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, men began to call upon the name of Jehovah." So if you have the recovery version of the New Old Testament, you have this note in Genesis 4:26 and note number 2. The Hebrew word, this is for call. The Hebrew word means to call to cry unto, to cry out audibly. Because men realized that their life was vanity, this is an implication from Abel. You know, Abel was Seth's brother. So, and he was the one that was killed. But his name was, Abel means vanity. And then this one, Seth, named his son Enosh. And Enosh means frail and mortal man. Frail and mortal. So, because men realized that their life was vanity and that they were frail and mortal, they spontaneously began to call upon the name of Jehovah, the Eternal One. Although they were vain and weak, by calling on the name of the Lord, they were made rich and strong, for they entered into the riches and the strength of the one on whom they called. And then it says, see verse 21, note 1 in Acts 2. So, saints, in the New Testament, we have this note, Acts 2:21, and note 1. It's a very comprehensive note. I'm going to read, I hope you bear with me. Again, I believe there are a number of new ones who have never seen this or heard this. And I'd like to take the time to read this. And if you've read before, I hope we could be refreshed with some of these points that are striking concerning this practice of calling on the name of the Lord. So this is Acts 2:21, the message in the message that Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost, where he is quoting the prophecy of the outpouring of the Spirit in Joel, right? So the note says, calling on the name of the Lord is not a new practice that began in the New Testament. Rather, it began with Enosh, the third generation of mankind. It was continued by Job, Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and the children of Israel, Samson, Samuel, David. Actually, saints, if you read the note, with every name, there are verses there. This paragraph that I'm reading in the Old Testament has over 50 verses. 50 verses to show how the Old Testament saints called on the name of the Lord. And then in the next paragraph, another at least 14 verses, over 60 verses to show the biblical practice of calling on the name of the Lord. Okay, David, the psalmist Asaph, the psalmist Heman, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and others, all of whom practiced this in the Old Testament age. Isaiah charged the seekers of God to call upon him. Even the Gentiles knew that the prophets of Israel had the habit of calling on the name of God. The Gentile raised up by God from the north also called upon his name. It is God's commandment and desire that his people call on him.
Amen.
This is the joyful way to drink from the fountain of God's salvation.
Amen.
That's from Isaiah chapter 12. It talks about this. It will draw water from the springs of salvation. Then it says, call on him. Call on his name. Not only call. It says, cry out and give a ringing shout. Sometimes we need to call out. You know, often we're in situations where we have to, oh, Lord Jesus. But we're not in one of those situations tonight. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. It's good every now and then to just call out. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. This is the joyful way to drink from the fountain of God's salvation and the enjoyable way to delight oneself in God. That is to enjoy Him. Hence, God's people must call upon Him daily. Such a jubilant practice was prophesied by Joel concerning the New Testament Jubilee. In the New Testament, calling on the name of the Lord was first mentioned by Peter here in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost as the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. This fulfillment is related to God's outpouring of the all-inclusive Spirit economically upon His chosen people, that they may participate in His New Testament Jubilee. Joel's prophecy and its fulfillment concerning God's New Testament Jubilee has two aspects. On God's side, He poured out His Spirit in the ascension of the resurrected Christ. On our side, we call on the name of the ascended Lord, who has accomplished all, attained unto all, and obtained all. Calling on the Lord's name is vitally necessary in order for us, the believers in Christ, to participate in and enjoy the all-inclusive Christ with all He has accomplished, attained, and obtained. It is a major practice in God's New Testament economy that enables us to enjoy the process triune God for our full salvation. The early believers practiced this everywhere. And to the unbelievers, especially the persecutors, it became a popular sign of Christ's believers. When Stephen suffered persecution, he practiced this as he was being stoned, saints. At the end of Acts 7, he called out, Lord Jesus. Later, the unbelieving Saul, persecuted the callers. I missed this part. Stephen practiced this, and his practice surely impressed Saul. Saul was there. But his response, Saul, was, I hate this name. And he tells us in his testimony, he thought this, I must do something contrary to this name. So he went to arrest the ones who called, to bind the ones who called, not the ones who prayed. Would you be arrestable that day? Or would you just pray silently? Doesn't the Lord hear us? But actually, saints, they knew they were under this threatening. They still called. Praise the Lord. Later, the unbelieving Saul persecuted the callers by taking their calling as a sign. Immediately after Saul was caught by the Lord, Ananias, who brought Saul into the fellowship of the body, charged him to be baptized, calling on the name to show others that he too had become a caller. And then he encourages Timothy to be such a caller. Praise the Lord. Short testimony. I was still very young. I was a teenager and in the church in New York City. And I remember we had a conference, some young people's conference. And after the conference, we were cleaning up. You know, the high schoolers stayed behind and we were, cleaning up and so on. And I don't know exactly how this came about, but there were about eight of us. And brothers and sisters. And somebody thought, let's take a break and let's call. And so we decided, let's try to call 100 times. So we got into a circle. And we started to call. Oh, and I think somebody was counting at the beginning. After about 12, 13, 14, forgot to count. Saints, from my recollection, we call for about at least 8 or 9, maybe 10 minutes. Oh, just 8 young people. Just, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. I tell you, after 10 minutes, there was no world. There was no temptation. There was no sin. There was no anything. Just our wonderful Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And we all felt, Lord, we love you so much. Try it. Try it. Try for 5 minutes. Just call out to the Lord. Say, if you've never tried this, I don't know. I wonder. If you've never called out to the Lord, I wonder, have you ever really touched the sweetness and richness of the Lord? I would just say that. Call out. To finish this section, I want to mention 6 points on how to call on the Lord. And saints, this is a gem in the Life Study of Genesis, message 25. I want to recommend this to you. Life Study of Genesis, message 25. Actually, a lot of this, the basis for a lot of these points is Matthew Life Study number 6. Matthew number 6 and Genesis number 25. Okay. But if you read those, you get more than what I'm saying here. 6 points. How to call. Number one, out of a pure heart. That's 2 Timothy 2:22. We should call out of a pure heart. What does that mean? When I call, I'm not looking for a feeling. I'm not looking for anything. I'm not even looking for an experience. Lord, I'm looking for you. I just want you. I just need you, Lord. I don't need an answer. I don't need a leading. I need a person. Number two, with a pure lip. Lip, L-I-P. This is Zephaniah 3:9. That verse has this phrase, a pure language, in the Recovery Version. But the, I think King James also, pure language. But the Hebrew word is lip. Saints, we need to have a pure lip. If we call with an impure lip, I'm not sure you'll enjoy the richness I'm talking about. And nothing contaminates our lips more than loose talk. We need to repent and enjoy the cleansing of the blood. The cleansing, just like Isaiah touched his lips, a man of unclean lips in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Maybe there was some gossip. Maybe there was some loose talk. Maybe there was some criticism. Maybe a curse came out. Then we come to call. No, that's not going to, you won't enjoy the richness. You won't enjoy the salvation. We have to confess. We have to have a pure lip. Number three, with an open mouth. This is Psalm 81, verses 7 and 10. Psalm 81, 7 and 10. You called in trouble. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Number four, corporately. We should call corporately. 2 Timothy 2:22. The same verse as point one. This is to call with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. It's good to call corporately. Shall we call corporately? Maybe two times. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Number five, daily. We should call daily. This is Psalm 88:9. My eye wastes away at the affliction. I have called out to you, O Jehovah, every day, every day. So we should call daily. And finally, number six, we should call as long as we live. This is Psalm 116:2. Because he inclines his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him all my days. All my days, or as long as we live. Amen. Okay, back to the outline. Number seven, the Spirit is the heavenly air for us to breathe. By exercising our spirit to call upon the name of the Lord, we breathe in the Spirit and thereby receive the Spirit. The key verse here is Lamentations 3, 55 and 56. I called upon your name, O Jehovah, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear at my breathing, at my cry. So you see, the word puts breathing and calling together. Our calling is our spiritual breathing. And you know, breathing has two parts. We exhale and we inhale. And we have this, we reference this hymn here, 255, this wonderful hymn by Brother A.B. Simpson. You familiar with this hymn? I'm breathing out my sorrow, breathing out my sin. I am breathing, breathing, breathing all your fullness in. And if you know the nearly every stanza, it starts with breathing out first. Breathing out. And then breathing in. Saints, I have encountered this actually in many saints. That in our realization, when we're calling, we're looking for supply. We're looking for intake. But sometimes our calling, we have, the verse says, the Lord is rich to all, but I call and it's not like it says. Why not? Well, it could be this. We're in our calling, we're not exhaling. We're cluttered inside. And as we call, we need to unclog our inner being. Of what? Of many things. Of course, firstly, sin. Surely, by confessing is an exhaling. But also, disappointments, sorrows, afflictions, unfulfilled dreams, disappointments, even disappointments with the Lord. Maybe we're disappointed in the secular world, with our family, with our career. We might be disappointed in the church life. We need to breathe that out. Oh, Lord. That's why I find it's good. Before Lord Jesus, oh. Oh, Lord. You know that oh is a kind of exhaling. You know, if you go to a concordance and you just look at the word oh, you'll be surprised how many oh's. You know, oh, just oh. Or O-H. There's a lot of O. In the Psalms, there's a lot of O. I'm so glad the Lord shepherded me this way. Even when I was a little boy, young boy, to call, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord. We need to unload. So there's room for when the Lord, for the Lord to come in His richness. Amen. We need this kind of spiritual breathing. Okay, F, the purpose of calling on the name of the Lord. And we have many points under this. To be saved. Okay, so we've touched that. Number two, to be rescued from distress, trouble, sorrow, and pain. Amen. Many verses in the Psalms. I won't take the time to read them, but I'll read one or two. Psalm 18:6. In my distress, I called upon Jehovah. Psalm 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Psalm 116:3-4. The bonds of death encompassed me, and the distress of Sheol fell upon me. I fell upon trouble and sorrow. But I called upon the name of Jehovah. Oh, Jehovah, I pray, deliver my soul.
Amen.
Don't we ever feel this way? Actually, it could be around us. Things are okay. But our soul is afflicted.
Yes.
Our soul is burdened. Oh, we can call, saints. He will deliver our soul. Three, to participate in the Lord's loving kindness. His mercy. I love this verse, Psalm 86:5. But you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. In the King James Version, instead of abundant in loving kindness, it says plenteous in mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. Saints, I think we all love that verse. It says his mercy in Lamentations. His mercies, they are new every morning. But how to appropriate those mercies, saints? Call. Oh, Lord, thank you for your new mercies.
Amen.
And we know we have the boldness to come forward to the throne of grace, right? To what? Receive mercy and find grace. But how do you come forward practically? Oh, Lord, I come to you. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. You are plenteous in mercy. You are abundant in loving kindness. Four, to partake of the Lord's salvation. We have four verses from Psalm 116. Very interesting things. This short psalm, four times, talks about calling on the Lord. But verse 13, I want to highlight. I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Jehovah. Saints, our salvation is a cup. We drink by calling. And this matches Isaiah 12. Draw water from the springs of salvation. Five, to receive the Spirit. To receive the Spirit. Surely to call is the best way and the easiest way to be filled with the Spirit. Six, to drink the spiritual water and eat the spiritual food for satisfaction. I think very often we talk about calling as like spiritual breathing, calling is like spiritual drinking, but the eating, we need prayer reading. But at least there's one portion in the Word that says our calling is eating. It's Isaiah 55. I won't read the verses. Isaiah 55, 1, 2, and 6. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come, buy, and eat. Then in verse 6 it says, call upon him while he is near. Okay, number 7. To enjoy the riches of the Lord. To enjoy the riches of the Lord. We have here 1 Corinthians 12, 3. No one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. Can we say it?
Jesus is Lord.
You're in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There's a link between the name and the Spirit. You know, it's interesting. Corinthians. Corinthians is a very particular book. Actually, Corinthians is a book on the enjoyment of the all-inclusive Christ. From at least 20 aspects. Right? But the setting is a complicated church life. And at least two times, Paul talks about calling on the Lord. We call the Lord. Saints, we can experience all that Christ is, even in our complicated church life, by calling. By calling. Don't forget to call. Amen. Point 8. To stir ourselves up, Isaiah 64, 7. Surely, when we call, we can stir up our inner being. 9. The name of Jesus is for us to pray in. Surely, there are verses that we're familiar with talk about praying in the name of the Lord. But saints, this does not mean we pray our prayer and then at the end we say, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Now, I'm not speaking against that. Actually, I practice that. And have practiced that many times for many years. But I'm saying it's not merely that. To pray in the name of the Lord requires the person behind the name. When we pray ourselves into the Spirit, then we're really praying in the name of the Lord. Number 10, the name of Jesus is for us to be gathered into. Praise the Lord, tonight we're gathered into, not this hall. We're gathered into His name. Amen. 11. The name of Jesus is for us to cast out demons.
Amen.
Actually, among us, through the years, we even have this reality. The power of the name of Jesus. 12. The name of Jesus is for us to speak boldly in.
Amen.
And I'd like to add one verse that's not here. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all things in the name of of the Lord Jesus. Everything we do, saints, should be in this name. Amen. Saints, praise the Lord for this sweet, rich, powerful, saving, healing, comforting, available name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, point G. Not everyone loves this name. Satan hates the name of Jesus. Satan utilizes people to attack the name of Jesus. The religionists attack the name of Jesus, forbidding the believers to preach or teach in that name. When the apostles were persecuted, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to be dishonored on behalf of that name. Saints, I want to point out a strange thing. I don't know if you've experienced this. When we talk about just about anything, the world situation, the economy, the weather, sports, we don't feel ashamed. But when we're in a setting and we start to talk about Jesus, I don't mean in the church meeting. I mean when we're at school or at work. Doesn't a strange feeling come over you sometimes? That's devilish. There's an element in this universe that is against the name of Jesus. We talk about philosophy. We talk about many things. We talk about sports. We talk about, there's an opportunity to say something about Jesus. Strange sense. Did you never experience this? Oh, saints. That's because Satan and the demons, they all know salvation is in the name of Jesus. All the more we should be bold to speak this name and to speak in this name. Point H, to conclude this section, the Lord Jesus praised the overcomers in Philadelphia because they did not deny his name. The recovered church has abandoned all names other than that of the Lord Jesus Christ belonging to the Lord absolutely. To denominate the church by taking any name other than the Lord's is spiritual fornication. The church, as the pure virgin betrothed to Christ, should have no name other than her husband's. Amen. Okay, Romans 2. Now we come to Emmanuel. And again, the Roman numeral is just the verse. Let's read that together. Behold,
the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us.
Amen. It says Jesus was the King Savior's name given by God, whereas Emmanuel was the King Savior's name called by man. Something particular here. The name Emmanuel is the name that is called by someone who has some experience. You have to have some experience. So we call Jesus. He comes. But when he comes, we realize this is God with me. Ah, Emmanuel. Emmanuel is a name of experience. B. Matthew is a book on Emmanuel, God incarnated to be with us. We read these verses in the scripture reading. In chapter 1, call his name, Emmanuel, God with us. In chapter 18, verse 20, whenever two or three are gathered, there I am. He's Emmanuel in the meetings, in the gatherings of the believers. And finally, at the conclusion of the book in 28:20, he says, behold, I'm with you all the days. So beginning to end, Matthew is a book on Emmanuel. See, Emmanuel is all-inclusive. He is first our Savior, then our Redeemer, then our Life-Giver, and then the all-inclusive indwelling Spirit. Actually, the content of the entire New Testament is an Emmanuel. And all the believers in Christ as the members of Christ and are a part of the great Emmanuel, the corporate Christ. Okay, we've seen at the beginning, God with us. But we have here Revelation 21:3, the next to last chapter in the New Testament, in the Bible. It says, and I heard a loud voice out of the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will tabernacle with them, and they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. Did you ever realize New Jerusalem is Emmanuel? God with them. But now we are there as New Jerusalem, We become part of this Emmanuel. What a view. From Emmanuel in Matthew 1 to Emmanuel in Revelation 21 and 22. D. Now this point D is actually the second key statement that we received of the four key statements. The practical Emmanuel is the spirit of reality as the presence of the consummated triune God in our spirit. His presence is always with us in our spirit, not only day by day, but also moment by moment. Saints, we can never separate the spirit from his presence. Actually, the spirit is his presence in our spirit. The Spirit is His presence in our spirit. We call the name Jesus, but He comes as the Spirit. The Spirit as the reality of that person, as the reality of that name, as the realization of the person of Jesus. And we have here these verses in John 14. The Lord was there as Emmanuel. He was with them. But what did He say to them? He says, I will give you another comforter. Another comforter. That he may be with you forever. Did you realize he was telling us the Spirit is Emmanuel. The Spirit, I'm leaving. I'm Emmanuel. I'm leaving. But he's coming. He will be Emmanuel. Who's he? The Comforter. The Spirit. Did you ever realize the Spirit is Emmanuel? And it says, he abides with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I am coming to you. Oh, saints, praise the Lord. He is with us as the Spirit, as our Emmanuel right now. Number one, He is with us in our gatherings. He is with us all the days. And I say again, saints, don't forget today. He's always with us today. Three, He is with us in our spirit. Now, we have under here 2 points, A and B. Very particular points. Listen, today our spirit is the land of Emmanuel. B, because God is with us, the enemy can never take over the land of Emmanuel. I think, saints, many of us are familiar with the mentioning of Emmanuel in Isaiah chapter 7. Actually, the Matthew 1 is a quotation from Isaiah 7, right? Behold, the virgin will conceive and will bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. But did you realize in Isaiah 8, there's another mentioning of Emmanuel. And it's in this context, the Lord is telling them that the Assyrians will come like a river. We're flowing like the great river Euphrates and will come to take over. Right. And then at the end, it says this. And the spreading. This is Isaiah 8:8 says, and the spreading out of its wings will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. So in Isaiah, it's calling the land, the good land, the land of Canaan, is actually the land of Emmanuel. This is where we get this. So the good land is the land of God with us. The land of Emmanuel. That's verse 7 and 8. But then in verse 10, listen to verse 10. It says, take counsel, yet it will be frustrated. What will be frustrated? The coming of the Assyrians. That river. It will be frustrated. Speak the word, yet it will not stand, for God is with us. What this means is the enemy is always trying to take over the land of Emmanuel, but he can't do it because God is with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think in our lives, there's many here. I see some of you here. I know your story. You know my story. The enemy came, tried many times to take over the land of Emmanuel in our life. But tonight you're here. I'm here. Hallelujah. That means he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Praise the Lord. Amen. This week, maybe 21 times he tried to take you over. He failed every time. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The land of Emmanuel is your spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I love this verse in the cross-reference. 1 John 5:4. Everything that has been begotten of God overcomes the world. Then connected with that is John 3:6. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Actually, what's begotten of God? Your spirit. My spirit. My spirit overcomes the world. The world will try to come and take over the land of Emmanuel. We say, oh, Lord Jesus, Emmanuel. We call, oh, Lord, we see that great river coming. We call, oh, Lord Jesus. We call Jesus, but who do we get? Emmanuel. The Spirit comes as Emmanuel, and he can't take over the land. Praise the Lord. 4. We can enjoy the presence of the triune God in gathering together for the teaching of his holy word. We can enjoy grace and peace through the Spirit as the presence of the triune God. 6. The Spirit's leading and witnessing are his presence. 7. We enjoy the dispensing of the triune God through his presence as the Spirit. He says, to live with Christ as Emmanuel, we need to be in his divine presence, which is the life-giving Spirit as the consummation of the triune God. Saints, there's a very important point here. It's developed more in the next point. Point one. To live with Christ, we still live, yet not by ourselves alone, but by Christ living in us and with us as Emmanuel. The triune God cannot complete, listen, the triune God cannot complete his intention to dispense himself into our being outside of us. Therefore, his being with us must be inward. What does this mean? When the Lord came in Matthew 1, he was Emmanuel. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. But that form that he was in and that God being with us could only accomplish judicial redemption because he could go to the cross and shed his blood. But we know that God's complete salvation includes not only judicial redemption, but organic salvation. And the key part is his dispensing. So he had to go through another process. The first one, the Word became flesh. In the second, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Became. Sometimes we call this the two becomes. Through this process of the two becomes, now he is Emmanuel, not just with us, outside of us. He's Emmanuel in my spirit.
Amen.
And he's all the time dispensing to carry out God's organic salvation, with the goal of which is the preparation of the bride. So saints, when I was a new believer, I appreciated so much he was that Emmanuel who came to shed his blood. I still do. Even every Lord's table meeting, I still do. Thank you, Lord, for what you accomplished as Emmanuel in that stage. But that's only the cup. Now I get the bread and something comes into me. This is Emmanuel in another stage. Do you see at the Lord's table, Emmanuel in his two stages so he could be with us and not only meet our need, but take us to be the body to meet his own need. 2 says Emmanuel is our life in person, and we are his organ, living together with him as one person. Our victory depends upon Emmanuel, the presence of Jesus. If we have the Lord's presence, we have wisdom, insight, foresight, and the inner knowledge concerning things. The Lord's presence is everything to us. You know, sometimes saints, I find, especially younger ones, they're battling with things that prevent them from going on in the Christian life, frustrations. But they focus too much on those things. I try to overcome. Actually, yes, you have to confess. But don't focus on that. Trying in yourself to overcome. Just have Emmanuel. When you have his presence, you already overcame. So that's why, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. If you fall, you must confess. But then what? Eat the Lord.
Amen.
Drink the cup of salvation. Enjoy the presence of Emmanuel. As long as you're enjoying the presence of Emmanuel, you are in victory. Actually, he is your victory. So don't focus on the thing. Don't focus on your weakness. Focus on this person. Jesus, who saves us from our sin, who becomes my Emmanuel. Okay, F? Is that right? Are we up to F? If we would enter, possess, and enjoy the all-inclusive Christ as the reality of the good land, we must do so by the presence of the Lord. The Lord promised Moses, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." God's presence is with us, the map that shows his people the way they should take. In order to be fully gain and possess Christ as the all-inclusive land for God's building, we must hold on to the principle that God's presence is the criterion for every matter. Regardless of what we do, we must pay attention to whether or not we have God's presence. If we have God's presence, we have everything. But if we lose God's presence, we lose everything. Saints, in the books of Exodus and Leviticus, not only do we see so many aspects of the riches of Christ for us to enjoy, but also we see principles, governing principles, for how God's people can enter, possess, and enjoy the land. And this is developed much, much more in the All-Inclusive Christ, this book, in chapter 11. What I'm going to share with you is from there. Chapter 11. The all-inclusive Christ. The first governing principle is his presence. If we have his presence, we have everything. We have everything. Moses told the Lord, "Lord, if your presence does not go up, don't take us up." Moses knew this secret. We just need your presence. You know, in the book, The All-Inclusive Christ, in that chapter, Brother Lee gives a little illustration. I think it's so helpful. He says, there were four or five brothers who were traveling together for the Lord's ministry, for the service. And one of them was unhappy with all the other four. He was unhappy. But he had no choice. He had to go. So they had to travel by train. So they all were in one car, car number one, except that brother. He sat in car number two. So he says, they had him, but they didn't have his presence. You know, this is just what it says here. The Lord says, this is in Roman, in F. My presence shall go with you. The Lord didn't say, I will go with you. It's different. My presence shall go with you. That's one thing. I shall go with you. That's another. I think we've all been in situations, you're with someone, you're walking with someone. It could be your spouse. Could be your child, could be your good friend, could be your companion in the Lord. But sometimes they are there, but you don't have their presence. Or vice versa, you're with them, but they don't have your presence. What? You're just not happy over something. Saints, sometimes, the Lord will go along with us over something. But we don't have his presence. He will allow us. He will even bless us. This is the tricky thing. He'll help you. But you're in car number one. He's in car number two. Have you never experienced this? Saints, oh, I know. In my life. I've experienced this. I convinced myself that this was of the Lord. So I went. I did. And the somewhat troubling thing is, it was blessed to some extent. But the Lord withheld his presence. I know it. To show me his displeasure. I was in car number one, but he was in car number two. But he came along. I hope, saints, we would say, Lord, I don't want to be governed by your help or your blessing even. I have said to the Lord, Lord, I don't need your help. I can do without your help, but I can never do without your presence. His help is not the governing factor. We've been in situations, there's a feeling, a little question over something in the Lord's service or in the Lord's work. And some might say, but there's fruit. You can't argue with fruit. But I say, I think, yes, you can. Just because it's fruitful. I feel, saints, we should every now and then stop. Just be silent before the Lord. Say, Lord, do I have your smile? Do I have your smile? Do I have your smile here in my heart? You know, Paul, it shows us that Paul lived in the person of Christ. He forgave others. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He forgave that brother, in the person of Christ. Many of us are familiar with this. That word person, in the person of Christ, is the face, literally it's the face of Christ. But particularly, it's this part, the index of the eyes. And we know that if we have someone's eyes, we have their presence. You can tell whether they're pleased with you or not with their eyes. Let us look to see. Do I have the Lord's smile? Or do I merely have his help? It's possible. Saints, we should be fearful. We should be fearful that the Lord might give us something and we lose his presence. Actually, it's possible the Lord could give you something and that very thing the Lord gives you robs you of his presence. I hope we would ask, Lord, have mercy. Lord, I'd rather you not answer my prayer. I'd rather you not answer my prayer than to give me something that I'm praying for. And then that very thing, that it could be material thing, it could be a relationship, it could be something. And that very thing robs us of his presence. Point two says, the presence of the Lord, the smile of the Lord is the governing principle. We must learn to be kept, to be ruled, to be governed, to be guided by the direct first-hand presence of the Lord. Oh, saints, I think this point is worth to go to be with the Lord and pray over this. Say, Lord, I like to be kept by your presence, by your first-hand direct presence. I like to be ruled by your first-hand direct presence, governed and guided by your presence. The verses here are three verses from Psalm 80. Cause your face to shine, and we will be saved. Lord, cause your face to shine. I want to see your face. You know what I said about Paul? That's not just with Paul. He had the person of the Lord. Paul himself, that's 2 Corinthians 2. In chapter 4, he says, the God who said out of darkness, light shall shine, is the one who shined in our hearts to illuminate the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So saints, all of us have his face now. All of us have his face in our heart. So we should stop. Lord, I have your face, but do I have your smile? Three, as a representative, now we have these three examples of some who experience this in the Word. As a representative of the reigning aspect of the mature life, Joseph enjoyed the presence of the Lord, and with it the Lord's authority, prosperity, and blessing. You know, often in Joseph's story, he says, and Jehovah was with Joseph. He was in such terrible situations, But Jehovah was with Joseph. He knew the Lord's presence. Moses was a person very near to God's heart and according to God's heart. Hence, he had God's presence to a full extent. We already touched on him. Five, the Apostle Paul, we also mentioned this, was one who lived and acted in the presence of Christ according to the index of his whole person expressed in his eyes. Then number six is the testimony of our brother, Brother Lee. In my youth, I was taught various ways to overcome, to be victorious, to be holy, to be spiritual. However, not any of those ways worked. Nothing works but the Lord's presence. His being with us is everything. And the final point, the entire New Testament is an Emmanuel. And we are now a part of this great Emmanuel that will consummate in the New Jerusalem, in the new heaven and new earth for eternity. The New Testament begins with a God-man who is God with us and ends with a great God-man, the New Jerusalem, which is Jehovah is there.
Amen.
We saw, Revelation 21, that the tabernacle of God is with men. God himself will be with them. But this verse in Ezekiel is very striking, talking about New Jerusalem. Ezekiel 48:35, and the name of the city from that day shall be Jehovah is there. The New Jerusalem is Emmanuel. Amen. Saints, in closing, I'd like to read just a brief portion from the life study of Matthew, message 1. Message 1. It's under a section called the central thought. With every book of the Bible, we also need to find the central thought. The central thought of Matthew is, listen to this, Christ as Jesus, Jehovah the Savior, and Emmanuel, God with us, is the King. You can say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The baptizer.
Amen.
The light.
Amen.
The teacher.
Amen.
The healer.
Amen.
The forgiver.
Amen.
The bridegroom.
Amen.
The shepherd.
Amen.
The friend.
Amen.
The wisdom.
Amen.
The rest.
Amen.
The greater temple.
Amen.
The real David.
Amen.
The Lord of the Sabbath.
Amen.
The greater Jonah.
Amen.
The greater Solomon.
Amen.
The sower.
Amen.
The seed.
Amen.
The feeder. The bread,
amen.
The crumbs under the table,
amen.
The Christ,
amen.
The Son of the living God,
amen.
The rock for the church,
amen.
The builder of the church,
amen.
The founder of the kingdom,
amen.
The present Moses,
amen.
The present Elijah,
amen.
The head of the corner,
amen.
The Lord,
amen.
The resurrected one,
amen.
The one with authority,
amen.
And the one ever present to his people in resurrection. Hallelujah. 33 items. As Jesus and Emmanuel, he is 33 items to us. How rich Christ is in the book of Matthew, even richer than in John. As Jesus and Emmanuel, he is another 33 items to us. We must enjoy him and partake of him. We need to experience him in all these aspects in resurrection, not in the natural state. He is the ever-present one. Matthew begins with God with us and ends with, lo, I am with you all the days, even unto the consummation of the age. How wonderful this is. Saints, may we all treasure these two names. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The one who saves. The one who is our salvation. And Emmanuel. God with us. By experiencing him, he will bring us actually into the reality of the kingdom. This is all in Matthew. He will bring us to live in the reality of the kingdom, that we might be the people who bring in the manifestation of the kingdom. How about we pray with someone around us, and Brother Bob will guide us. Amen.